He cannot go where he is not given space.
Yes.
This is why Paul will talk about in the New Testament, hey, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Hey, welcome to the Vertical Church Ovilla podcast, where we want to encourage you to live out biblical faith in the real areas of your life. So welcome to the podcast. It's going to be great.
So I've had people ask this question to me. Can Satan read my mind? Well, that's a pretty interesting question.
Yeah.
Second, with it, similar is, does he know what I'm thinking, which is similar to read my mind? But yeah. Then even more so, can he put thoughts in my mind? Mm. And if you do some Googling, you'll find, at least when I did, the first page of answers all said, no, he cannot.
Okay.
So that's an interesting conclusion.
Yeah.
And then I've listened to people who have said, no, he cannot read your mind. That is why mm-hmm. you should always be careful about what you say out loud, yeah. because if you say it out loud, then he knows that's what you're thinking. So, yeah. But I've heard some of the same people say, well, so therefore I don't ever say my prayers out loud. I just say them in my heart because I don't want him to know what I'm asking for.
Don't believe that, please.
I don't.
That's not good.
That's not
faith. That is called, I'm more scared of Satan than yes. I am believing God is strong.
Yeah, so I was just, as I've heard all that, I was like, something about this doesn't just seem right. Yeah. So
I've also heard that, and I think this is where some people probably fall in line as well. You hear some people say, hey, you know, Satan can't read what's going on in your mind. So that's why walk confident, smile, and be happy and express outwardly that everything's great, you know, kind of more on like the Joel Osteen-like prosperity.
Put on a facade.
Kind of, yeah.
Even though on the inside you might be dying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a whitewashed tomb potentially.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
All of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
But kind of the more, hey, it's all about the vibes. It's all about what you portray. It's all about and how you look and what people perceive of you.
Yeah.
That's the same way about Satan. He can't get beyond your flesh.
Interesting. Just the outward.
Literal body.
What he can see. All right.
Just as if you were a normal human.
Yes.
Just the same as us.
Interesting. All right. So anytime you come upon an issue like this, and you can't find a specific verse that says it, you have to go back to other verses that you know are true. So we start with foundational truth. So I think we start, of course, with the fact that God does know our thoughts, mm-hmm. and in fact, he knows the motives of our heart, mm-hmm. even. He knows everything about us. There's no place that he has limitation. He can go wherever he wants. In fact, he is in all places, and he knows all things. David wrote and said, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. So he knows everything about us.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a debatable point for mm-hmm. us today. We also know that Satan is limited. He is not like God. So he cannot be everywhere at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you get like Peter writing in the New Testament saying, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking, he's prowling, he's moving. He is a limited mm-hmm. creature. He is not able to be everywhere, and he does not know all things.
But there are demons.
That's correct. So that's the next piece is he is not alone. He has entire superstructure of demons, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, mm-hmm. Rulers of wickedness in dark places, or rulers of darkness mm-hmm. in this age. And of course, New Testament spells it out for it. Ephesians 6 tells us this. So though Satan cannot be everywhere, he has plenty of those under his rank and file mm-hmm. that can be in many, 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 many places. We also know that there are lies and deceptions and strongholds. There is the ability for Satan or demonic forces to influence a person, even possess a person. Mm-hmm. So if we know all of that, then we at least can have that as our framework to start with. But then comes the question again, can Satan know our thoughts? Can demonic forces know our thoughts? And can they read our minds? And can they place things in our thoughts and minds? So interesting question.
Very, very interesting.
So the Bible tells us some stories about people and circumstances. So for example, we know in the New Testament about Judas and what he does to Jesus. And the Bible describes in John 13, it says, during supper, or what we know of as the Last Supper, that the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. So that has all the feel and story of Satan put something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that Judas didn't have a part in it.
Yeah.
He had a role in it.
He was all clean, just going about walking in obedience and faith. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, I am demonic all of a sudden. Oh.
I didn't want to be, but I was forced to be.
Here I am.
No, Satan working with his own flesh did that. And then you say, okay, well, he wasn't a believer. Okay, well, let's roll forward to the book of Acts, chapter 5. You get Ananias and Sapphira, and they're going to lie to the Holy Spirit and to the other believers. And Peter says to them, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Okay, so there again, you have this picture of Satan put something there. He had the ability to infiltrate, to get into their heart and thoughts.
Because the phrase was what again? Why has Satan
filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?
Filled your heart to lie. Wow.
So again, not like Satan was acting independent of their interests, but together cause that to happen. And you go back into the Old Testament, we see even that David is, it says that Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So David's caught in a spot here, and he's doing something that was instilled, inspired, motivated, placed there by Satan.
So, any other examples, or can I ask a question?
Yeah, well, no, go ahead. I think the other one is quite obvious from the story of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, okay, so that's where I was getting at.
Yeah.
Is this then, because, why has Satan filled your heart to lie?
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like Satan has done the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to ask is, typically you think of Satan as just a tempter.
Right.
As one who just offers a, did God really say?
Right.
And then we take the bait and we say, well, maybe God didn't really say, let me act on this according to my best interest, you know, or according to how I think this ought to go.
Yeah.
Is that not just temptation, but is that Satan changing my thoughts? Is that him getting into my brain and he's not making the decision for me. He's not altering my will.
Yeah. No, you get in the New Testament, Paul refers back to Eve, and he's talking to the Corinthians, and he says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Wow.
So there's it's a cooperative element here where Satan is doing, he deceives, but there's a buy-in.
Yeah.
But the question is, how did that deception get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, does that mean he can just access our thoughts? Can he access our mind? Can he plant things there? Does he have a gateway into our mind? That's the big question.
That is the good question.
And then if so, what?
Yeah. You know? And exactly. Where is the boundary in that? And does that mean like, oh, now I'm demonically possessed, or I'm demonically controlled, or you know, again, you say Satan, or you could say demons, darkness,
strongholds, whatever.
Temptation toward sin, the world. that's some tough stuff right there. Because instantly your reaction as a Christian is, surely that's not the case. Surely that can't happen.
Yeah.
Surely that won't happen, isn't happening to me.
But at the same time, we're called to put on the whole armor of God.
Exactly.
We're called to be involved in a warfare. Mm-hmm. So, but again, can he infiltrate my mind and my thoughts? Can he plant things there? Does he know what I'm thinking as I'm thinking it? Does he have access in real time to me? Does he have access ahead of time before I'm even fully fleshing out the thought? Does he already know what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Does he have access before I think the thought to place the thought?
Yeah.
Can he preemptively plant something there?
So I just, my initial reaction is, I've been alive for 25, almost 26 years.
Yep.
And Satan has been around since the dawn of creation. Yes. I would think he's seen quite a few more humans.
Yes.
And knows the ways in which humans operate, what they fall for, what they desire.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what traps and temptations to place better than what I even can wrap my mind around what even humanity is,
you know, right,
what the human condition is. So I also then would think, okay, I could see how Satan could tempt, persuade, put things in my future that are there before I'm even there. You know,
but is it simply because he knows the forecast? Is it kind of like, well, he knows this is what they're probably going to do. I've got a 99% chance that they're going to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and put this out there in front of them because I'm pretty sure of all the people I've seen, this is how they all act. Is he just a good forecaster?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. I think it's better. I think it's bigger than that.
It's bigger than that. Yeah.
But I, just off the practical side of things, you know, like if he is continually set on, I am going to attack and get back at God. Not even get back at, but I'm going to
steal, kill, and destroy.
Attempt to attack God by the thing that he desires and loves the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to attack humans.
Yes.
I'm going to attack his creation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say he's going to do everything he can in his power to destroy us.
Because there's an equal question you could ask us. Well, can he get into my emotions?
Yeah.
Can he get into my will?
Yeah.
If I have a separate mind, will, and a set of emotions, can he infiltrate all of those? And can he plant seeds of destruction in any of those?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Is
that true for the believer as well as the non-believer? Is it true for the experienced believer or just the immature believer? What is it, you know? So I'm going to suggest that is not really the best question to ask.
Okay.
So let's go down another.
It's the question you want to ask.
It's the question that we're asking, yes. But I'm going to say there's a different question to ask, and here's why. Let's back up and think about the kind of being that Satan and demons are.
Okay.
They are not flesh and blood like us. So they're very different. The Bible refers to them as spiritual hosts. Mm-hmm. They are spirit. They're originally created angels. They do not have form and function like us.
Yeah.
They have a different form and function.
Yeah.
They move about in a realm different than us. So they see life differently than we do. They see what we see, but they see it even in a more clear way because they see into the spirit realm. I'm not talking about something that's far above the earth. I'm talking about something that exists right now here. But if you could almost change the channel, if you could, in a sense, and see into another realm, you would see them present here. Just like in the room right now are Wi-Fi signals and phone signals, Bluetooth, cable or TV signal. They're all happening right here around us. I can't see them, but they're here. Microwave, they're all present, but I can't see them. The same is true for the angelic realm or the spirit realm and the demonic realm. So they are a different creature to begin with. They operate in a different realm. They have a mind and they have a will, but they are spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So what that includes is the fact that they also function and read spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is their highway, if you will, their pathway that they walk on. It's their communication. They have a different level of sensing even than what we do. So sometimes we talk about the different way that a woman will have an intuition different than a man, right?
Yeah.
How she can sense things without even knowing all of the facts yet. Mm-hmm. I think when you get over into the angelic and the demonic world, that is even heightened because they are spiritual creatures. Mm-hmm. So they function at a spiritual level. And so what they ride on and move on are pathways that are spirit.
Okay.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
We're not through here yet. Just we're on this Cracking. Path. So the Bible even talks about that there are different kinds of spirits that are destructive. So, I mean, we know from Paul writes in 2 Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. So here is a spirit of fear. He didn't say God has not given you a thought of fear. Mm. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. We also read in the Bible that there is an unclean spirit. There's a spirit of harlotry. There's a spirit of antichrist. There's an arrogant spirit. There's a spirit of heaviness. There's a familiar spirit, a spirit of divination, a spirit of bondage, a spirit of error, and a spirit of infirmity.
Wow.
So these are all spirits, spiritual host of wickedness, and guess what they attach themselves to, and guess where they go?
Spirits.
To people who have a spirit that are open to that.
Yeah.
That's why it's important when Paul writes, God has not given you a spirit of fear, that we recognize that. This is very personal for me because I can at times experience fear in my life and have, even when I can't logically tell you the reasons why, because it was a spirit of fear that I felt. All of a sudden, I just feel this sense of angst or anxiety or concern. And I have to remember, no, God has not given me that kind of spirit. So I believe from what we see in Scripture, this is where demonic forces begin to move, is on these pathways that are spiritual and spirit related. So they're looking for people who have a spirit of sadness, sorrow, depression, and they move in those areas because that's the only way they can move. They are spiritual and they can only move through doors where there is an open spirit to them. Mm. If there is a spirit, an essence about me of doubt, an essence about me of insecurity, a spirit about me of anger or jealousy or lust, that is what they recognize, and that is what they can move into because they are spiritual beings.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about a spirit realm. You can't think about demons operating like we operate.
Like humans, yeah.
We operate through conversation and analysis and linear time, and we have conversations, and we attempt to logically understand and process.
On top of emotional, on top of, you know, trying to assess lots.
That's not them.
Yeah.
They move in a realm that is spiritual, and so they are looking for where there is spirit that is familiar or aligned or makes an agreement with them, and when they find that, they move in, and then they have access.
That's very interesting.
We give them access by our spirit, who we are at our essence, or whatever we call it sometimes, mood, vibe, aura, you know, all those things. Those open doors. I think this is why in the book of Hebrews it says, be careful lest a root of bitterness spring up among you, and by it many are defiled. Just the spirit of bitterness. Because once you formulate an attitude, a spirit about you, thoughts will confirm that in your own mind and in your life. You'll look for it around you.
And it is fascinating how that is typically how it works. The thoughts and emotions and your actions conform to the spirit that is controlling you. That is, that you are, I should say, that you are putting yourself under.
Yes.
That you are
Even Paul's words, again, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Those are the manifestations of his spirit in us. Don't listen to that other spirit of fear, because it will begin to control your mind and take away your strength and take away the awareness of how much you're loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot, huh?
Yeah.
But it's really real. So now with that in mind, you go back and you think through some passages that we've heard, even Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When you let spirit reign in your life, the spirit of God reign, then you begin to have spiritual warfare that controls and brings thoughts into captivity. You don't win it in the thought realm, you win it in the spirit realm.
Yes.
You win it by defeating that spirit, that sense or vibe or essence of I'm fearful, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm jealous, I'm doubtful, I'm insecure, I'm withdrawn, I'm isolated, I'm depressed. No, that is what opens the door right there.
Yes. Because all those things you just said, those are all agreements you're making.
Yes.
Oh, I am this, I am this, I am this.
Yes.
It's not take every thought captive, being like, hey, after your life is wrecked, now look around and what are the things you have, what are the things you're thinking about? Now attack those things. Like, no, like you got to set up a defense beforehand so that whenever the identity questions come at you, you already have the defense and you can take it captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
This is how that follows up.
You know,
that it would, that the thought would have to be, is this in line with Christ's word? Yes or no? No, gone.
Yes.
That's it. You know.
The thought in that verse right there, the thoughts are secondary.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the thing that's
they're not doing primary.
The acting.
Yeah. So no,
it's what follows.
You wrestle in the spirit because you identify with who God says you are. I am redeemed, I am loved, I am called, I am chosen, I am forgiven, I am blessed, I am actually blameless and holy. Now let that spirit settle on me. Now I can take some thoughts captive.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
So good.
Shoo. Yes.
Only whenever you have the right standing. That's so good.
So Proverbs even backs this up in a very short phrase. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it spring the issues of life. Heart here is not the word for mind. Mm-hmm. It's for the essence of who you are. So keeping a control over over the spirit of who you are, more so than just your thoughts. This is not just, I'm just going to have positive mental attitude all day.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't help to anybody.
No.
If you don't have the spirit of love and of hope, and of joy, the fruit of the spirit, by the way, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, good, self-control. Those are the spirit elements. When you have that in place, then you can win over the thoughts.
It's so good. Yeah.
So.
That's fascinating, again, that it says keep your heart with all diligence. It doesn't say keep your mind with all diligence.
Exactly.
Keep all your thoughts with all diligence, but keep your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
The absolute core of who you are first.
Yeah. So we know that God speaks on the realm of spirit. Jesus even said, my words are spirit and truth.
Yeah.
They come into the realm of spirit in us. They're not first logically understood. That's why two people can hear the same set of facts, and one says, I'm an atheist who hates God, and he can't hear truth.
Yep.
But another man, he says, I love God, and he hears the truth. That's why Jesus says, he who has ears to hear. He's talking about who has the spirit to perceive first. This is how God speaks. Verses like, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He doesn't say to the intelligent.
Yeah.
To the logic thinker. Yeah.
To the hard worker.
To the overly developed mind or the deep, you know, the strongly developed mind. That's not what it is. It's the one who has a humble spirit. They hear. Yeah. Proverbs 2. A lot of the Proverbs talk about if you want to have if you want to find the treasure of God and the wisdom of God, then you have to seek him
with everything,
with all that's within you. And then you've got this beautiful description in Isaiah 11, where it breaks out the different ways that the Spirit moves. Or he gives us there's a spirit of wisdom. There's a spirit of understanding. There's a spirit of worship. There's a spirit of counsel. There's a spirit of power. There's a spirit of knowledge. There's a spirit of the fear of God. Because those are the realms that God speaks through. So when a person has a real spirit about them of worship, then God speaks into that mind. Well, a person has a real spirit of wanting wisdom and see life from God's perspective because their mind is yielded and their heart is yielded to him, then they begin to think wisely because God gives that to them. Even in Romans, it talks about we have a spirit of adoption. That's not just a passing term.
No.
That is a, there's an essence about me in which I realize I have been adopted into God's family. I don't know what that all means logically, but there's a spirit about me of I know I've been adopted into God's family.
And that then is how what operates everything in your life.
And
interesting, there's multiple of those. It's not just like oh, only one, but it's the spirit of, like you said, wisdom, counsel, knowledge, and adoption. It's like that's crazy how vast that then is. And that there's many things to receive in the spirit realm, not just one, here's this one little aspect that your spirit or your mind really needs. Something deeper.
So now with all of that in mind, can Satan read our thoughts? Does Satan know what's in our mind? Can he place things in our mind?
I would think,
When you open your spirit to him, if you have a spirit of divination, a spirit of fear, a spirit of doubt, a spirit of bondage, a spirit of infirmity even, a spirit about you that is just the one, infirmity, take that one just by itself, a spirit of weakness and sickness and frailty. If that is your essence, then those spiritual hosts of wickedness, they speak that language. And when you open the door, they come running in. And then what happens is you then give them the space. You then open the door to your thoughts in that moment. So now you go back and kind of replay the Ananias and Sapphira scenario, the Judas scenario, the David one. There was a spirit about them that opened the door for Satan to deceive, or demonic spirits to deceive, plant a seed, them to buy it, and then act on it.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, with no defense, like, of course Satan can know your thoughts, know your mind, and you will fall for the things that he's going to then put in your path. If you don't have a, this is who I am. This is the armor of God that I wear, I put on, and I'm confident in the power and strength of it. Of course, you're going to be attacked, whipped, beat up, burdened, and overwhelmed. And it's, of course, because that's literally what Satan spends all of time doing is attacking, stealing, killing, destroying humanity.
He cannot go where he is not given space. This is why Paul will talk about in the New Testament, hey, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You can. There's a time to be angry, but don't let that sit long enough that it becomes who you are as you're an angry spirit, because the minute you give yourself over to being an angry spirit, you open the door, you give a foothold to Satan. So yeah. It's more important to control the spirit of who we are. In fact, again, Proverbs is going to talk about and say, the one who doesn't have a spirit of self-control about him, he's like a city whose walls are broken down.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, boy, we should guard our heart with all diligence. We should guard our spirit, guard the essence of what we are, who we are, because you're sending off signals to demonic spirits, spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know, come to me, you know, here I am. I've got an open door because I have a spirit of, you name it. And they come running because they're looking.
Yeah.
They're looking for a place to light.
And it will come not in the way of like, hey, I'm Satan, invite me in, you know. Eventually, there's that. But it will come in, here's a little temptation.
Yes.
Here's a little, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, come in this way. Hey, come.
Yes.
Always all going to be in the slightest, smallest inkling of, I'm going to move you further into darkness and further into sin and further away from God.
Yep.
It is not going to be up front, hey, here's this dress, boom, you know, like here's this crazy change, you know.
Yep. Let's take the other side of this for just a minute.
Okay.
Because God, like I said, speaks in this realm also and in this way.
Exactly.
He's looking for spirit.
Yes.
He's looking for a spirit of humility.
Yes.
A spirit of worship.
Yeah.
A spirit of obedience.
Yep.
And those he will speak to and reveal himself. Here's the New Testament wording for what that sounds like. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's this wonderful, beautiful, powerful truth that God has about what he's going to do, what he wants to do in our lives. And he's prepared it for us, but no one has seen or heard that. But, it says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. There's the pathway.
Nice.
He comes in through Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God.
Wow.
We're getting a behind the scenes look at how God moves. He moves in the vein of spirits. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
so good,
but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God.
Wow.
There is spirit before knowledge.
Wow.
This is the path it always works on, and it works that way with God, and the demonic realm has twisted it, and they look for the same thing, but they're looking for something much darker and much more insidious. So every spirit that you allow to come over you and become you, they come running to, and once you give them access by spirit, they have access to your mind.
That's good. That's real.
It is real.
Yeah.
But this is why, as children of God, we have been filled with the Spirit of God, and we're to walk in this Spirit, walk in this awareness, walk in this confidence, because Jesus said, I'm giving you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But this is not just a fact you have to acknowledge in your mind. This is a spirit you have to pick up about you.
Assume,
a spirit of confidence, of certainty, and awareness, and fight.
Yeah. And on top of that, the verse that comes to my mind also is that we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
We have the mind of Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you also have the mind of Christ, then that is also your defense against the things, the spirit, the evil spirits that seek to attack you. You say, no, this is who I am, what I have, how I think, the way I live. I will fight off and I will stand in, grow in, walk in the confidence and authority of Christ.
Yes. And we should.
So
we should walk in the spirit of that.
Yeah.
Because that's where the victory is and that is where the loss can be.
Yeah.
If you allow a spirit
Wow.
that is inconsistent with who God has said you are to become you, he will invade. He will come in because you open the door, and he will know your thoughts, and he will place thoughts in your thoughts in that moment.
Wow.
Woo!
Love it.
It's good stuff.
Very good.
It's
very,
good
very
stuff. So
good stuff to think about.
It is, and take in as our spirit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And our spirit.
Just think about.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for joining us today. I hope it is a help to you to walk in the spirit, not in your flesh, to be strong in the spirit, not in insecurities and fear and doubt and anger and resentment and lust and greed or infirmity, but to walk in the spirit for which you have been filled. So come join us at Vertical. Keep lifting him up and living him out.